For Chasm Radio, I am Farm Director Joel Gill at Commodity Classic in Orlando, Florida. As we check in, Richard Severson joining us, President with the Minnesota Corn Growers. And Richard, great to see you. Always great to visit. And we talk Commodity Classic, and you guys didn't have a chance to really, twiddle your thumbs a whole lot. There's so many different issues, so many different topics. It had to be some very interesting discussions you've had this week.
Yeah, it's just great to get back together with all the folks in this industry from across the country, hear all the different viewpoints, because not everybody's buried in snow right now like we are back home. And by the way, I'm glad to be in Orlando. But when this group gets together, the number of smart people, talented people with great viewpoints, and the great respect we have for each other, it makes for a real clear way to distill ideas down and put together the recommendations that we want to take to Capitol Hill with the policy priorities that really matter to folks that are back home, getting their machinery ready for spring planting, tending livestock, and producing food and fiber and fuel for Americans.
You know, earlier in the week as states met, I'm sure they each had their own interests, but overall it seems to be a common concern or certain issues that reign throughout, correct?
There's the issue that's coming up, and it's very hot in Washington right now, the issue of foreign ownership of farmland. We started a debate, I'll put it that way. We started a debate on that amongst the delegate body yesterday. I think that's going to be an ongoing debate, because we're going to have to refine a policy that makes sure, from a national security standpoint, a food security standpoint, that the people who own farmland in America are Americans, and that it's American farmers that are running that land and making the decisions on how those resources are being used. After all, it's them and their neighbors that are affected by the practices used on that land, and the people on the ground in that neighborhood should be the ones that make the decisions. We have a number of issues coming with the Environmental Protection Agency. We debated some things about drainage, waters of the U.S. That's always a hot topic. A way to get any farmer riled up is just to say WOTUS. And we had a representative, the Ag Advisor to the Secretary of EPA, was there and spoke to our group yesterday. He used to work for National Corn, and he's a great advocate for us there. A lot of common sense. And there's always going to be, he says he spends a lot of his time with pesticide issues. And those are being debated, how pesticides are regulated. There's a session up here this afternoon with someone from EPA talking about how the EPA and their pesticide regulations interact with the Endangered Species Act. And that's getting to be a hot topic, because that this whole court decision that forces EPA to reevaluate pesticides based on their impact on endangered species, the Ag Advisor told us it would take them approximately 400 years to do all those evaluations if they started today. There's got to be some common sense coming from government too. We don't use chemicals or pesticides in any way that's going to endanger species, nor do we want to. So if they have a specific piece of advice on how we utilize some crop protection technology, bring it on. At the end of the day, it's my farm and it's my livelihood. I want the best scientifically proven products to do the job in the most sustainable way that I know how.
Richard, I feel it's correct by saying there's some disappointment. Last year we got the waiver through the summer for E15. There was maybe hopes this was going to put in and be a constant thing every year. We could count on that, but this year it didn't happen.
No, eight Midwest governors, including our Governor Walz, had submitted a petition to enable the use of E15 throughout the year-round. The way the Clean Air Act is written, the EPA had to grant that waiver when the governors brought it. They said, okay, 2024 and on, you can have E15 year-round, and not for 2023. What sense does that make? We know this fuel works in cars. We know it's cheaper for the consumer. I think there ought to be some real backlash from consumers about the way this is done, not just among us corn farmers. So, yeah, we're disappointed. I've been disappointed by the EPA so many times on the ethanol issue that I'm not sure that this one is it stands out as special. But no, there's got to be, when I ask for common sense from EPA, that seemed to be just a little short. So we're working with legislative partners. There's, of course, bills in both houses been introduced. We've got great champions, including Minnesota's two senators and our rural representatives, trying to move bills, some that are just E15 year-round nationwide, and some that do more help ethanol gain market access across the country. Legislation is always slow and hard, and you have to be very, very persistent and patient to work with it. But as corn grower leaders, we've got some great folks we're working with in the Congress and on their staffs that we hope we can get something done, get an exception for this summer, and then we'll have the permanent Midwestern fix coming in 2024.
Richard Severson joining us with Minnesota Corn. Finally, I think for many years we'd start the conversation by talking corn price. You know, sometimes that gets lost in a shuffle a bit, and prices have been well, but we're seeing a very small downturn, but a lot of people are interested to see where it's going to go here as planting is right around the corner.
I certainly have been trying to buy seed fertilizer chemicals as I thought when the price of those made sense that I could make a profit. I was using a slightly different price when I did some of those calculations than what it is today. If you walk around the trade show floor here at Commodity Classic, there's no shortage of commodity advisors with all kinds of different opinions, and you can find one that suits your particular personality and your particular outlook. I think we have to be realistic. The market, while carryover is smaller than comfortable, it's still adequate, and no user of corn is going to go without corn, at least unless there's some major disruption in production or distribution in the world in the year to come. It seems like I heard some buzz in the hall yesterday, well, soybeans are getting more acres today because corn was down so hard and beans kind of held in there. We all know, those of us in this business, that they don't have to raise the price of corn to get more acres. They just maybe have to drive down the price of beans or vice versa. We don't want to see either price in a race to the bottom. Like the tide to raise both boats there, because at the end of the day, those of us in the upper Midwest, we really make our living with those two main crops.
Richard Severson joining us, Minnesota Corn Growers President here at Commodity Classic. Richard, thanks again. Great to see you. Nice to visit with you as well once again.
It's always great to sit down and have a conversation with you, Joe. I just appreciate the advocacy and the things that you do to help us get our message out. That's my appreciation personally and from our organization. Thanks, Joe.
KASM Radio, number one farm radio in central Minnesota, from Commodity Classic from Orlando, Florida.